Welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishtalkers.com.
You're so welcome to the final segment of this week's show of the Talk Show for Talkers. And Paul always flags up this part as the introducer as being the best part of the show for the week. And this is because the person who looks after all the technicalities and all the engineering and a lot of the toast mastering is our own Mauro O'Brien. And Mauro is going to be talking to us about confidence from a psychologist's point of view. So enjoy this. I'm certainly going to enjoy it. Take it away, Mauro.
Thank you, Ted. Well, I was reading Psychology Today. Well, I wasn't actually. I did a search for confidence, and I happened to come across this particular article in something called Psychology Today, psychologytoday.com. And it's by a lady who's a medical doctor called Dr. Susan Bailey-Haas. She wrote an article in Psychology Today on confidence and how we can use psychology to boost our confidence. But let's first of all look at the definition of confidence. And there are a number of definitions. I'm taking this from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. First one is a feeling of or consciousness of one's powers of or reliance on one's own circumstances. So, for example, had perfect confidence in her ability to succeed, met the risk with brash confidence. And the second one is a faith or belief that one would act in a right, proper, or effective way. Have confidence in a leader. And number two, the quality or state of being certain. Certitude. They had every confidence of success. 3A, and there's three of the items here. 3A, a relation of trust or intimacy. Took his friend into his confidence. B, reliance on another person's discretion. Their story was told in the strictest confidence. Or C, support, especially in a legislative body. A vote of confidence. Well, we're talking about mainly the first two items, which is a feeling of consciousness of one's own powers or a faith or belief that one will act in a right and proper, effective way. So these are the two items we're really concerned with. So we'll look at this from the psychological aspect. Now, I'm not going to quote from Susan's article. I'm going to link that on our webpage. You can go and read her words. But I'm just using the titles of her five segments just to give me prompts, if you like, for what I'm going to talk about. And the first one, she says, is carry yourself with confidence. If I come onto stage shaking and nervous, I'm going to be shaking and nervous, and I'm going to come over shaking and nervous. If I come on stage apparently bursting with confidence, not only will the audience think that I'm bursting with confidence, but it will also affect my brain. I will actually be more confident. That's a strange thing, but it is true. We can physically affect our own feelings just by the way that we act. So what we need to do is to look at our posture and our position on stage. That we, if we're sitting, that we sit upright, that we are leaning forward, especially to the camera if we're online. Or if we're standing, that we stand upright, that we have a straight back, that our feet are planted, maybe shoulder width apart. In other words, we exude this apparent sense of confidence. And that will enable us actually to be more confident. It's a strange thing, but believe me, folks, I know it works because I've used this technique myself. Second item, you won't be surprised at this one. Be prepared. Always prepare. How many times have we said this on this show? Always be prepared. Even if you know your stuff very well, still prepare. Let me tell you about Mike Carr, our current world champion of public speaking. He came onto a meeting that I attended a week or so ago, and he gave a very interesting speech, and he was asked questions afterwards One of the questions was, how many times did he actually practice, rehearse his speech? Now, I don't know exactly what the number was, but it was something in the hundreds. He said every time he got into his car, which would be two or three times a day, he would practice his speech. He would rehearse the speech. Just imagine that. How many hundreds of times he actually rehearsed that speech before going on stage. So even if you know what you're talking about and you're well rehearsed, practice, 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 practice. Get it absolutely firm in your brain. And practice is also the key to good preparation. An example that I can give in my personal life is I do an evaluation workshop, and I've given this to a number of different clubs. Most of them have been small community clubs, but I'm going to be giving this next week to an advanced online club. As a result, I've had to completely redo all my slides because I'm giving it an online situation, but also I'm giving it to an advanced club. And I expect an advanced club to know a lot more about evaluating, maybe even more about some of them than I do. So when I'm looking for, let's say, audience reaction, I've got to be prepared for quite a different response than I would from an ordinary small community club where the majority of the members are maybe fairly new Toastmasters. Now, I know that particular program extremely well. I've given it maybe a dozen times. I can do it standing on my head, as the story goes, but I still need to practice it, and I will, before the date, I will go through and practice it two or three times at least before I finally give it. Number three, and this will be of no surprise to you either, speak clearly and avoid the ums and ahs. Now, I go a little bit further with this than she does in her article. I say, yeah, let's get rid of the verbal pauses, as I like to call them, verbal pauses. But also, think as much as you can during your preparation about the words that you want to use. We definitely don't want to have ums and ahs and you knows and likes and all the other things that we do. And we know that we can use pause to overcome the use of those words. But let's also refer back to the Rhetorical Devices podcast. And we're talking about ethos and pathos and logos. Try to bring in these simple, and most of them are very simple techniques. They're not difficult. They're more a matter of learning them and getting them into your mind that you can bring them out and use them when circumstances permit. Speaking clearly is possibly the most important part of an oral presentation. Enunciating your words, keeping a good flow, making sure that your cadence is good, that you're not a monotone. All these things add to the effect of your presentation. The more that you do these things, the more confident you will become in your ability to hold an audience and keep them spellbound. Early in my Toastmasters career, I was assisting a corporate club which was just starting up, and I was asked a question in Table Topics, and my response was something to do with my age. Now, as you probably know, I'm no spring chicken. I will never see 74 again, and I don't look my age, but I'm very fortunate in that. And the end of my Table Topic, I was going to admit to how old I was. And just before saying, I am actually 75 years old, or whatever I was then, I think 73 or 72, I paused. And that pause went on for so long, and yet the audience, every single one of them was looking at me and waiting for me to say, I am 75 or 72 or whatever the age I was. I overdid it. As a matter of fact, I should have cut a couple of seconds off it. But that pause was extremely effective. So you can use things like that really to get confidence. And it's all down to confidence. You can get your own confidence by using these techniques. Number four, don't fill silence with nervous chatter. Well, we've sort of covered that, haven't we, with the art of the pause. Use that pause strategically as well. Don't just use it in order to get your brain to catch up with your mouth, which is what a lot of our verbal pausing is, but use the pause strategically, as I've just explained in that last example. And lastly, and this is a really interesting one, visualize it ahead of time. Now, I'm quoting directly from the article here. According to brain scans, your brain cannot distinguish between what you visualize and real life. Think about that. Your brain actually thinks that if you are visualizing yourself going up on stage, standing up on stage and giving the speech of a lifetime, your brain thinks, I'm getting up on stage and I'm actually giving a speech of a lifetime. It does work. So use it. Athletes have been known to use this for years. Top performing artists use this. It's a technique that will stand you in really good stead. And I quote again, get out there, you can do it. Say what needs to be said and say it well. Paul, your thoughts?
Well, when you were saying that athletes do it, top class performers do it, I said, and Paul does it. Paul, when he comes on to this show, bag of nerves, low confidence, not sure what he's going to do, says to himself, you're going to blow them away today, Paul. They're going to love you. These people are going to be smiling all over their face. You're so different from Ted. They're going to love you, Paul. You're so... So that's the kind of self-talk that has got me to this point. And now you've got me to reveal my secrets. I'll have to put up with the fact that you're probably going to be more confident yourself in future, Moira. Is that right?
Absolutely. Ted, what are your brief thoughts?
Peace, Moira. What I particularly liked about it was the lovely gesture or the lovely education you gave us with regards to pause. And when you said you felt you went on too long. So that's the important thing about the pause, that it has to be timed, and it has to be timed well. Because if it's not, the audience starts saying to themselves, he's after forgetting what he wants to say next. Yeah. It doesn't become a pause then, you know. So I thought that was very clever of you to tell us that you went on too long, you milked it too much.
I did.
People may have been getting the wrong idea. A question that I would like you that I would like to ask you on behalf of our listeners. Did you reveal to your audience that day your actual age?
No, I don't think I did, actually.
Yeah, the pause was even more effective.
Yeah. Well done. And that brings us to the end of this week's shows. I hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join us again next week for another series of four podcasts. So from myself, from Paul, and from Ted.
And we will have a lovely guest next week, so you'll have to come on, folks.
Bye for now.
Bye.
The Talk Show for Talkers is published every week in sections at 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Go to our website, irishtalkers.com, for more information.